AC Sparky, 5 or 1250 AM, The Fan, 55 past the hour. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Timeout from the Wendy's Studios. Not in morning person? Well, you are now, because Wendy's is bringing you one more sweet reason to hop out of bed. The all-new Cinnabon Pull-Apart. It's the new go-to breakfast treat to satisfy those morning cravings. It's got all the flavors you love from Cinnabon, like that warm, sweet cinnamon sugar roll dough, the perfect ooey, gooey texture, and a dollop of that signature cream cheese frosting. Get your day off to a sweet start with Wendy's Cinnabon Pull Apart. Joining me now is Milwaukee Brewers beat writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is Kurt Hoag. Follow him on Twitter at Kurt Hoag. This is Milwaukee Sports Timeout, brought to you by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Bet on all your favorite sports 24/7. Enjoy over 70 self-service kiosks, wall-to-wall TVs, free parking, great food, and a full bar. Bet big, bet bold. Learn more at paysbig.com. Kurt, first things first, I want to talk about this futures type game that they had on Sunday, where you had all your top prospects from the Brewers and Royals facing off against one another. Give me a couple of players that stood out to you.
Oh, that's a good question. Well, Jacob Mizrahi got the start. I think it'd be cheating to pick him. I'm going to go with a 13th round pick in last year's draft. Brett Wachowski, Mike Wazowski. I'm not entirely sure how to say last name. But his arm was electric, or 98, 99, cutter, slider. Really good. And then on the offense, 18-year-old Dominican kid named Yofri Rodriguez. He hasn't played stateside yet, but he will this year. Impressive young man, impressive swing. It was a cool event. Probably could up the production value a little bit, in my opinion. But being there, it was neat seeing all those guys on the field together.
Obviously, got to talk about Jackson Chirio. He was in that game. And then as we record this here on Monday morning, we hear that Chirio's in the mix to make the opening day roster. I think everybody assumed he automatically makes the opening day roster because he signed that contract. Is that not true?
I was coming into camp a bit unsure. I was not assuming it just because of the competition they had out there. Through camp, I've been assuming it a little bit more. It's what I'm expecting at this point. I just think Pat Murphy's not tipping his hand one way or the other. The kid leads the Cactus League in at-bats right now. So I'm not sure you're letting a 20-year-old kid, you know, get all those at-bats. But the purpose isn't to put him to the full test and see if he can handle this thing for opening day.
What about Gary Sanchez? He hasn't really worked at catcher, not least that I've seen, unless I missed something. Is he pretty much just going to play DH and let the other two play catcher during the season? Is that how this is going to work?
He has caught two games. First game was last week. Did not go well. Two or three pass balls. It was his first time catching in a while, but the hand injury, I believe, was his throwing hand, so not even the catching hand. So I think the defense is definitely the question there for sure. He's been putting in the work. The thing that William Contreras offers you is he can catch a lot of games, and he wants to catch a lot of games. Maybe the big question remaining in camp is, do they carry three catchers? Does Eric Haas make the opening day roster? Matt Pat Murphy has said that's really hard to pull off. You can do it for shorter stretches. Really difficult, though, to play a long time with three catchers. Eric Haas is trying to force their hand. He's a good receiver. Pitchers like working with him. His offense has been great this spring, if you want to read into spring training offense. But the balls are being hit hard. But, yeah, I'm not entirely sure if, you know, the Gary Sanchez defense with where it is right now influences the decision. Maybe has them carry three to start the year as a bit of an insurance policy, because if not, Eric Haas has to go on waivers. And theoretically, with the way he's looking this camp, someone would be interested in that profile.
Let's talk about a couple of guys that may not be on this roster that may get sent down. I think the one guy I think people think is going to get sent down at this point, based on what this looks like, is Tyler Black. The other is Joey Weimer, because Weimer hasn't looked that good offensively. He did some stuff to change his bat swing and so forth, and how he stands and all that, and has struggled a little bit. Is it out of line to think both of those guys end up in AAA?
Yeah, Tyler Black's for sure starting in AAA. There's just so many guys in the third base equation, and the advent of the Sal Frelick experiment and it going pretty well so far, that gives you a third primary, you know, left-handed hitting third base option. Or so it seems that this might actually be the thing that they do, and that puts Black out of the equation. Weimer started to turn it around a little bit at the plate. Obviously, you're not reading too much into the results in spring training. But with a guy like him who had, you know, a pretty substantial change to his setup and his swing, you want to see some results, whether it's the swing decisions or the hard contact. And both have been better, I would say, in the last week. Pat Murphy has commented about that. And, you know, the one thing Weimer does that you know he'll do, in addition to his defense, I guess, is that he hits lefties. And so there's a world in which I see the Brewers wanting to carry five outfielders. And then that fifth outfielder is probably, what, Weimer, right? Unless they go Blake Perkins. But his spring has been even slower, I would say. So I still think Weimer's fully in the mix. I just don't know if the Brewers are certain of exactly, you know, the numbers that they want at various spots.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the starting rotation. As of right now, I mean, we're about a week or so out here from opening day. As of right now, what's your starting five as far as the rotation goes?
Oh, starting five. Well, Freddie Peralta's number one.
Yep.
Wade Miley, although I don't think he's going to be healthy for opening day. Then you go Jacob Junis, DL Hall, Colin Ray, Joe Ross. That's the way that I see it shaping out to start the year. I do think if it's my starting five, if I'm picking the best five, Robert Gasser's for sure in that group. And it sounds like he'll be up at some point early in the season. They have 13 straight games, and then an off day, and then 13 straight after that. So he'll probably come up and make his debut at some point. But he's been really, really impressive. He's probably not in the starting five, but maybe the pitcher out of the entire staff that I've been most impressed with this camp.
So what does he bring to the table for those that haven't seen him pitch?
Yeah, it's not the flashiest, you know, throwing 98 arsenal. Left side gets good carry, good ride on the fastball, throws, you know, 93, 94. It's the slider that's really a plus pitch. There's a sweeping slider. And then on top of that, he's added a cutter. And the question with him was always, you know, coming from the left side without a real good changeup or elite fastball, how's he going to get righties out? Well, the cutter might be how. It kind of jams guys, gets in on their hands, gets even a little bit of swing and miss when guys swing over it a little bit. So he's really been turning heads. He's throwing harder this camp too, and showing that he's big league ready right now after spending all last year at AAA.
Time with Kurt Hoag, Brewers beat writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here on 1250amthefan.com. Follow him on Twitter at Kurt Hoag. Let's talk about the bullpen. Horrible news, obviously, with Devin Williams going to probably miss half the season. When we talk about the back end of that bullpen, it sounds like it's going to be by committee, possibly. I think some probably would look at it and go, well, that's going to be a rebase job eventually. How do you see it?
Yeah, I do think at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, when you want that nasty stuff and that personality too, a little bit, that mean guy in the ninth inning, that's Uribe all over it. Certainly in the future, but I just have a gut feel that this is the kind of guy whose makeup is going to allow him to thrive in that similar role. Now, Pat Murphy might just closer by committee this thing, and you know, maybe pitches Uribe just in the biggest spots every night, a la Josh Hader back in the day. They've got other guys who could close. Trevor McGill, Piamps, Figuero. Those are guys certainly in the mix with the power arms. So it'll be interesting to see how they end up using Uribe. But yeah, if I had to pick a guy right now, it's going to be Abner.
Let's talk about the lineup a little bit. I love lineup talk. I know a lot of people don't, but I do. Yelich has been so successful in that leadoff position the last couple of years, yet I tend to think, based on what I'm seeing with these lineups, he's going to be batting third this year. Garrett Mitchell leading off. Is that what you see?
That is what I see, Sparky. I think Pat Murphy likes Yelich hitting down a little lower. Now, he says he wants, he would prefer his three best hitters at the top of the lineup, which would be Yelich, Contreras, Rhys Hoskins. But I don't think it, I think just the way it'll end up playing out, maybe they'll try Garrett Mitchell or Sal Frelick in their speed at that top spot and you know, try to get a little more of the damage bats down lower a little bit.
So who
Rhys Hoskins at cleanup, I guess.
So who hits two? Is that going to be Willy Adames?
I think Contreras.
Contreras goes at two then. Right.
So
Then it's Yelich, then it's Hoskins, and then Adames, or no?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, you could maybe argue for a lefty in there and Sal Frelick at five, but I don't foresee Salvador really as a middle of the order hitter.
Agreed.
This year, he spent a lot of time last year there. Council kept putting him in there. Murphy said he doesn't want him at three, which probably don't hit him too often at five then either when you've got a guy like Willy Adames.
Yeah, I totally agree. They really need Willy Adames to have a bounce back here for this offense to really,
really
kind of go as you wanted to at this point. As you sit right now, where do you see this Brewers team? I've been saying probably somewhere around 85 wins is where I'm at.
I think I'm a bit under that from where you are. There's variance for sure with them. With how does Churio look? The sophomores, do they figure it out? Is DL Hall a legitimate number two or number three starter? Like, the Brewers, probably more than any team in this division, maybe the Reds you could throw in there too, but we've even seen a lot of those guys, they're young guys. The Brewers have more variance than I think anyone. I'm sitting probably right in the middle, maybe the low end of the middle at like 81-ish wins right
like
now. The Devin Williams injuries. Yeah, 500. The Devin Williams injury probably bumped me down two or three wins. He's just been so good. And, it's hard to say if the Brewers are going to play more close games, but given their history, they tend to play a lot of close games. So I think that impact will be pretty sizable, even though there are some proven options in the bullpen. There's no one at Devin Williams' level.
I have one last one for you. I saw a video of Murphy talking about Churio. He had a couple nice hits, but I want to know why he didn't catch that ball in center field. Maybe I'll have to go back and look at it. Maybe I didn't see it right. All right, let's talk a little bit about the starting rotation. As of right now, we're about a week or so out here from opening day. As of right now, what's your starting five as far as the rotation goes?
Oh, starting five. Well, Freddie Peralta's number one.
Yep.
Wade Miley, although I don't think he's going to be healthy for opening day. Then you go Jacob Junis, DL Hall, Colin Ray, Joe Ross. That's the way that I see it shaping out to start the year. I do think Robert Gasser, if it's my starting five, if I'm picking the best five, Robert Gasser's for sure in that group. And it sounds like he'll be up at some point early in the season. They have 13 straight games, and then an off day, and then 13 straight after that. So he'll probably come up and make his debut at some point. But he's been really, really impressive. He's probably not in the starting five, but maybe the pitcher out of the entire staff that I've been most impressed with this camp.
So what does he bring to the table for those that haven't seen him pitch?
Yeah, it's not the flashiest, ninth throwing 98 arsenal. Left side, gets good carry, good ride on the fastball, throws, 93, 94. It's the slider that's really a plus pitch. Throws a sweeping slider. And then on top of that, he's added a cutter. And the question with him was always, coming from the left side without a real good changeup or elite fastball, how's he going to get righties out? Well, the cutter might be how it kind of jams guys, gets in on their hands, gets even a little bit of swing and miss when guys swing over it a little bit. So he's really been turning heads. He's throwing harder this camp too, and showing that he's big league ready right now after spending all last year at AAA.
Time with Kurt Hoag, Brewers beat writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here on 1250 AM, thefan.com. Follow him on Twitter at Kurt Hoag. Let's talk about the bullpen. Horrible news, obviously, with Devin Williams going to probably miss half the season. When we talk about the back end of that bullpen, it sounds like it's going to be by committee, possibly. I think some probably would look at it and go, well, that's going to be a rebase job eventually. How do you see it?
Yeah, I do think at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, when you want that nasty stuff and that personality too, a little bit, that mean guy in the ninth inning, that's Uribe all over it. Certainly in the future, but I just have a gut feel that this is the kind of guy whose makeup is going to allow him to thrive in that similar role. Now, Pat Murphy might just closer by committee this thing, and maybe pitches Uribe just in the biggest spots every night, a la Josh Hader back in the day. They've got other guys who could close. Trevor McGill, Piamps, Figuero. Those are guys certainly in the mix with the power arms. So it'll be interesting to see how they end up using Uribe. But, yeah, if I had to pick a guy right now, it's going to be Abner.
Let's talk about the lineup a little bit. I love lineup talk. I know a lot of people don't, but I do. Yelich has been so successful in that leadoff position the last couple of years, yet I tend to think, based on what I'm seeing with these lineups, he's going to be batting third this year. Garrett Mitchell leading off. Is that what you see?
That is what I see, Sparky. I I think Pat Murphy likes Yelich hitting down a little lower. Now, he says he wants, like, he would prefer his three best hitters at the top of the lineup, which would be Yelich, Contreras, Rhys Hoskins. But I don't think it, I think just the way it'll end up playing out, maybe they'll try Garrett Mitchell or Sal Frelick in their speed at that top spot, and you know, try to get a little more of the damage bats down lower a little bit.
So who
Rhys Hoskins at cleanup, I guess.
So who hits two? Is that going to be Willy Adames?
I think Contreras.
Contreras goes at two then. Right.
So I think.
Then it's Yelich, then it's Hoskins, and then Adames, or no?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, you could maybe argue for a lefty in there and Sal Frelick at five, but I don't foresee Sal Frelick as a middle-of-the-order hitter.
Agreed.
This year. He spent a lot of time last year there. Council kept putting him in there. Murphy said he doesn't want him at three, which probably don't hit him too often at five then either when you've got a guy like Willy Adames.
Yeah, I totally agree. They really need Willy Adames to have a bounce back here for this offense to
really
kind of go as you wanted to at this point. As you sit right now, where do you see this Brewers team? I've been saying probably somewhere around 85 wins is where I'm at.
I think I'm a bit under that from where you are. There's variance for sure with them. With how, you know, how does Churio look? The sophomores, do they figure it out? Is DL Hall a legitimate number two or number three starter? Like, the Brewers, probably more than any team in this division, maybe the Reds you could throw in there too, but we've even seen a lot of those guys, they're young guys. The Brewers have more variance than I think anyone. I'm sitting probably right in the middle, maybe the low end of the middle at like 81-ish wins right
like
now.
500.
The Devin Williams injuries. Yeah, 500. The Devin Williams injury probably bumped me down two or three wins. He's just been so good. And, you know, it's hard to say if the Brewers are going to play more close games, but given their history, they tend to play a lot of close games. So I think that impact will be pretty sizable, even though there are some proven options in the bullpen. There's no one at Devin Williams' level.
I have one last one for you. I saw a video of Murphy talking about Churio. He had a couple nice hits, but I want to know why he didn't catch that ball in center field. Maybe I'll have to go back and look at it. Maybe I didn't see it right, but that looks like a ball he should have caught. He seems to be like he's going to be a little bit more forthright if he thinks somebody messes up calling out by name, maybe, than Council ever
does. Council's, I'd say his default, his standard, his M.O., you know, most of the time was to defend the players, not call them out in the media. I think, you know, hard to argue with that. That's how he operated. Murph's a little bit different. Today we spent 5 minutes talking about Churio's defense with him, you know, in his office, and he talked about how it was subpar. Hasn't been what they need to see from him, even though there's room to grow. So it's a different perspective in that regard. And I mean, you'll probably catch it if you listening to the interviews throughout the season. It's a different interview in a positive way, at least for my job it is. But I think fans will enjoy the candor, both good and bad.
I love Pat Murphy. Love him. Always have, always will. He's a great dude. Hey, Kurt Hoge, you're a great dude too. Follow him on Twitter at Kurt Hoge, Brewers beat writer. Thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
For sure, Sparky.